1-800-449-8686.
7-month-old son of an ABC News employee tested positive for anthrax contamination or infection. The child is doing well. The child responded to treatment from antibiotics. It was the cutaneous form of anthrax. The baby was in the newsroom with his mother or father or some relative, I guess it was a parent, on September the 28th. And they're going to take a look at that as perhaps the starting point for making some kind of a connection between all of these anthrax events. And there was a term that was being thrown around early on in the war on terror, you know, after 9/11, and that was called, remember this one? Low-tech, high-concept. Do you recall those terms? Those were being used by members of the intelligence community or former members of the intelligence community to describe this attack in New York and Washington. It was a low-tech, high-concept attack, and what that meant was, obviously, all it took was a couple of airplanes, three airplanes loaded with fuel, and some really motivated, crazy people to pull off the deadliest terror attack in the history of this country, perhaps in the history of the world. The same thing holds for this anthrax scare/attack. It is extremely low-tech, but high-concept. That is, the only way they have to deliver it is by way of mailing it in envelopes and sending it out to, here's the high concept part, members of the media or to media centers so that this very low-tech way of delivering it gets the highest amount of visibility. And what is the purpose of that? To scare a whole bunch of people. We have a relatively few number of cases, and it's scaring the crap out of 260 million Americans. Let me ask a question here, because I don't know the answer to this. How do you get a hold of anthrax? Just exactly, do you grow it? Do you trade it on the internet? I mean, are these guys mailing it to each other? I've got some good anthrax. How about you? How do these guys get a hold of it? Do they send coded messages to each other by way of the internet? Is it a powder that you buy? Is there a warehouse? Is there a clearinghouse? Is it manufactured? The news that I got last week, and I'm sure most of you saw the same story, there was absolutely no evidence to indicate that it had been genetically engineered or altered. So is there a network of people who trade it? Is it like, are they ads in the back of comic books? And the other thing is, it's still not clear as to whether or not this is something being done by the Al-Qaeda network or foreign terrorists, or is there a domestic component involved in this? And forgive me for putting it this way, but I don't know any other way of putting it. Tom Daschle got it. Now, I'm sure that the people who work with Trent Lott, and I'm sure security on Capitol Hill, Washington police, and the Federals are looking into anybody else in Congress getting anything in envelopes or otherwise. So I don't know. Why would a Democrat leader get it? Or maybe Trent Lott, maybe they've also discovered some mailing to him that they were able to intercept or supersede in some way. I don't know. 1-800, so having just brought all of that up, I say, I don't know. There you go, Phil. That's the way to put it into perspective. 1-800-449-8686. I'd be willing to bet that attempts have been made. All right, let's go to, I haven't just said that, I don't know. Here's John on the Phil Hendry Show. John?
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
First of all, I just want to compliment your show. I've been listening for several weeks now, on and off, whenever I get the chance to listen to the radio, and I really do think you are the wave of the future.
Cool,
I mean,
thanks.
I'm sick of the Rush Limbaughs and the Rush Limbaugh wannabes, and it's nice to hear a lot of satire. You're great.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, you mentioned the propaganda war. And the fact that, you know, how are we going to win this propaganda war? We're currently losing it. You're right there. My question to you is, did we effectively win the propaganda war before or after the end of World War II? And I'll tell you why I'm asking. Because I don't think we will effectively win it until after the military war has ended. And what I mean is, you know, there, you said our objective was supposed to be to, you know, take out the Taliban, take out Osama bin Laden and whatnot, and not just stop at just them, but, you know, maybe have to go after Libya, Iraq, whatnot.
Well, you know, here's where this war is so much different from World War II, because the propaganda machine, as it was cranked up around the world during World War II, was primarily controlled. You know, in other words, you were fighting a traditional armed forces.
Right.
You were fighting uniformed armed forces. And if there was any propaganda war to be won, it was within the countries that you were at war with, like within Germany or within Japan.
Right.
But that wasn't really necessary at that time. Although you will recall that the most of the propaganda battle that was taking place in World War II had to do with the troops in the field.
Right.
Tokyo Rose, Axis Sally. I don't know what the Allies were doing, but we were probably broadcasting some music shows into Germany, the BBC. It was primarily aimed, though, at the troops in the field, trying to either demoralize or uplift them, depending upon what radio station they were listening to. The American soldier was pretty savvy. He really dug the music that Tokyo Rose was laying out there. They weren't really listening to what she was saying. They just liked the show because it piped in some really good jazz,
right,
like three nights a week. This one is different. This is a war that's international, and it's not against the uniformed enemy.
Yeah.
And it's religious in nature, and it involves actively the populations of certain nations.
Right.
What I'm
trying to say is, ultimately, we must win the war on terrorism, blah, 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 take out the Taliban, take
That's
out
That's what I'm Obama. Hearing Bill Riley say anyway.
Yeah. Is that Bill Riley or Bill O'Reilly?
Bill Riley.
Okay.
Yeah, he says we must win the war. I said, okay. And then he hyped his book and then back to his show, you know.
Thank you for stating the obvious,
mm-hmm.
of course. But after we do so, I firmly think we should help rebuild Afghanistan so that we should tell the people, look, we're not trying to hurt you. We're trying to hurt the terrorists. We really want to help you here. We have a better way of living. You know, we think you might want to try it out. And
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It depends on whether, as a country, after this war is over, we're going to want to have anything to do with that part of the world. I don't know if this war is going to drive us into an isolationist mode as a nation, meaning we're done. Thank you very much. Screw you, all of you. America is now bringing the garrisons back home. Isolationism isn't very practical in the global economy that we have now.
Right.
But, you know, there is the very real possibility that after this war is hopefully won, and I don't mean to say hopefully, I mean, but like I said the other day, you know, you have to embrace the possibility of defeat in order to effect victory. We may become a very isolationist people. You know, we have had it up to, that's the way I'm feeling. That's the way I'm feeling tonight. I've had it up to my gut with the international intrigue that has sucked us into these various foreign wars. And now it's come home to America. But if you want to invest money and time and philosophical and psychic and spiritual energy into rebuilding Afghanistan and making allies of the people and their government there, it's going to be slow going, brother, and it will take some money. And we're going to have to ask ourselves this question: why are we doing it? So we can keep down there in America and, keep down there in Afghanistan and keep pumping the juice out of the ground? Because nobody's going to believe that we give a crap about them. They're going to believe that, hey, here's the Americans just doing their thing as usual. They want to keep pumping that oil. They want to keep it around $30 a barrel. What do they care about us? I mean, are you going to win that one? Are you really going to get people convinced that you really care about them as people when they'd be asking the question, the very obvious question, what are you guys doing here anyway? What do you care about me for? You know that person who tries to be your friend even though you don't want them to be? You know how annoying they are? That's how annoying I'm sure we are to a lot of people in this world who see us as a opportunistic, self-absorbed society that couldn't give a crap about anybody else. And it's, I got to tell you, even I have to choke on some of the bullcrap when I see us dropping packages of food. I mean, 3 months ago, we couldn't find Afghanistan on a map. Now we care. Yeah, we care. We care as long as we can get the Taliban out of there, get a government friendly to anti-terror, remove Al-Qaeda and all of the lieutenants in the terror network, and then how much are we going to care? One more thing to keep in mind, the president's been saying it, and we have to remember it. It's going to be a long war, guys, and there's going to be a couple of shots we got to take, and there's going to be defeats, and there's going to be victories, and that's how war is fought. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Gorev on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Gorev.
Hi, how's it going, Phil?
Good, man.
I wanted to talk about, I realize you've been talking about propaganda for a while now, but a couple hours ago you were talking about India shelling Pakistan.
Right.
And I want to shed some light on that situation. Although it isn't really good timing, you got to understand that has been going on there for 20 years now.
Right.
And the altercation is basically over Kashmir, and now India is kind of up in arms because its longtime ally has quickly befriended its arch enemy, and it puts India in a very strange situation. And the borders of Kashmir, which have always been quarreled over, they were kind of laid down when Pakistan separated from India. And India believes, and I pretty much believe too, that Pakistan has, maybe on a small scale, sponsored some militias in Kashmir. I mean, I don't want to call it terrorism.
So, in other words, India's got a right to be pissed off and to be, attacking Pakistan. And I don't doubt it. I mean, I don't, whatever those two guys have got those two countries have against each other, I'm sure they have plenty of reason. Right now, the timing couldn't be worse, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
And India is a country that is an ally. They are a democracy. I mean, there was a time when that meant something. I don't know if people give a crap anymore, but when we were talking about, a way of life, the Indian people have embraced a way of life similar to ours, although albeit not as, prosperous. They've got a democratic system over there. They've got some of the most active free press in the world. They actually have an incredible film industry. They've got an incredible popular music industry. I mean, they're a wild and woolly and interesting country of people. And now you got Pakistan, a military dictatorship. The Indians have got to understand the high wire that we're walking. That's all I'm saying.
That's true.
They need to understand right now.
India's welfare does really depend on America's welfare in the entire region.
And they got to understand, look at Israel. If you think that Israel didn't want to send some jets to Baghdad and bomb the crap out of them during the Gulf War, but we asked Israel, please stay out of it, man, because you guys get involved in this and it's going to really be ugly. And they did. They backed up. They had guys parked on runways in jets ready to scramble the minute any real threat to Israel occurred during the Gulf War, but they stayed on the ground, they stayed out of it, they did not get involved, and thank God for that. That's what we're asking India to do right now.
That's true, but I think the situation for India is a little bit more peculiar because essentially Pakistan denies any involvement with the terrorist groups in Kashmir,
right?
But at the same time, they were appeasing the Taliban, which supported the terrorist groups. So,
hey, they're full of Pakistan's probably full of crap on a lot of levels.
I mean, I'm a second generation Indian, and I'm American to the bone. I'd like to call myself a super patriot because I love this place. My parents have prospered here, whereas in India they wouldn't have. And I think maybe people should try to. I mean, I realize India shelling Pakistan, which we're trying to ally ourselves with, is kind of a. I think it's a little crazy. The timing.
Well, I'm just saying. Look, hey, you want to make some friends after this thing's done with? Let's make friends of Israel. Let's make friends of India. Let's make friends of the countries that get what we're talking about and have societies. Let's try to help build a burgeoning democracy in Lebanon, which is under assault every single day. But
right.
The rest of these guys, we got nothing in common with them. And by the way, where does India get its oil? Because we'd really love to kind of deal with them.
Quick comment.
Okay, I got to go, man. But thanks for calling. Okay. The quick comment, they're usually not quick comment. They go on for like a half hour. Okay, 1-800, look at this. Now I got a call here from Tony, who's calling in from Kashmir, and he says India's democracy is bullcrap. Okay, great. I know he's in Houston. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Not that anybody cares, but I'm down to 230 pounds on my Weight Watchers. Got back on the diet and dropped 9 pounds. And this isn't a commercial for Weight Watchers because they're not paying me a red cent, man. I'm just talking about it because it worked for me, and I don't know if it could work for you. Maybe Weight Watchers sucks for all I know, but, you know, I've been following the little program there. I get 29 points a day. People say to me, Phil, what do the points represent? Actually, they don't say that to me, but let's pretend like somebody did. And I would say, well, it means certain foods have certain point values, and I get up to 29 a day. And let's see, today I've had, for instance, 3 egg whites. That was 1 point. I had that for breakfast. Then for lunch, 3 egg whites. And you say, God, aren't you hungry? Not really. I don't need a big breakfast anyway. But I could have 3-4 Boca burgers. Those are 4. That's 1 point each. So that's 4 points. I get 29 points a day. Then for lunch today, me and Craig and Mike went over to the Cheesecake Factory across the street here. And which, by the way, when we called up, we said, yeah, we have a celebrity who wants to have lunch. So go ahead and make a table available, will you? And they went, right. And they hung up. So then we had to call them back and say, could we make a reservation? And then they hung up. So then we just went right over there and stood around, waited for a table. But what did I have today? I had that salmon steak and I had a salad. Salmon steak is no more than like 6 points. So I got 29 minus this 28. I got 22 points left for dinner, which is about a 12-ounce steak. And then you can eat all the vegetables you want. That's 0 points. So I could have a ton of everything, zucchini, you name it. I can have anything I want. And then popcorn. Popcorn, like a ton of popcorn is like 1 point. You could live on that stuff. So as it was on Friday, 230 pounds. Huh? Do I look it? Of course I don't. And I didn't have any clean clothes today, so I had to wear these baggy pants that I'm wearing. I look like a fat slob in them. But I feel good. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Tony on the Phil Hendry Show. Tony?
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Hi, good.
We love you down here in Houston, man. You have a great show.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I called to talk about India and all this propaganda about democracy and this and that. Well, I just want to tell you that I was born in Kashmir. My family was there, okay? And we effectively had to escape from there because, you know, because of all the tortures and the bullcrap they're feeding the people. Like, would you like me to tell you some of the...
So, in other words, the Indians are a bunch of slobs and you hate them. Where are you from? You from India?
Yes, I'm from there.
But you don't consider yourself Indian?
No, not at all.
You consider yourself what? What do you consider yourself?
Well, I would like to consider myself a free Kashmiri or even a Pakistani because, well, my own government does not have the right to, you know, come into my house, okay, you know, rape 13... My cousin, she was 13 years old when she was raped by Indian soldier, okay?
Well, those guys ought to be prosecuted and court-martialed.
Good luck with that, Phil. Good luck with that.
So I guess India is a pile of crap. What do you want? You want a dictatorship there? I mean, Pakistan has got a military dictatorship because they have so little trust in the democratic process
that they ousted the
democratically elected prime minister of Pakistan, who also happened to be a woman, so they probably don't like that either.
No, you're wrong, Phil. The one we ousted was a male
problem.
Guy.
I got you. Well, who was Bhutto?
Who was not removed militarily.
Who was Bhutto?
Excuse me?
Wasn't Bhutto ousted in the coup? I got that wrong?
No, it was Nawaz Sharif.
All right.
The jerk-off. Anyway.
Yeah, so good. Wait a second. So, in other words, it was good that the military ousted him.
Well, okay. Living in America, people I know really get really freaked out when they hear the word military dictator.
Yeah, we do, because it's a complete subversion of the democratic process.
Exactly.
That's why we freak out,
but,
you know. And
you
for countries
understand.
That are not used to democracy, for small countries that have no idea how to handle it and have a military coup every 5 years, yeah, it's not the way you're supposed to do it, you know. You're supposed
exactly.
to leave it into the hands of the people. So we freak out for a very good reason.
Yeah.
That it completely subverts
subverts
and bastardizes the entire idea of a democracy.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is,
other than that military dictator you got over there's a great guy though, huh?
Oh man, I tell you, I'd rather trade him, like, you know, have him there for 50 years than all the bunch of crap we had for
all that democratic crap. Yeah, who needs that when
exactly.
you can have a dictator who can maybe put a blowtorch up your ass every now and again?
Well, no, they don't do that.
They don't do that. I see.
Well
okay, suppose they did.
Then.
Have you got any recourse in the courts if they did?
Well, okay. Well,
can you sue
let
the?
You
hey,
this.
Let me ask you. Can you sue the dictator for sticking a blowtorch up your rear end?
Well, let me ask you. Can you sue a politician in Pakistan?
No, I asked you a question. Can you?
No.
No, you can't.
Neither can you sue a democratic person. I mean,
well,
people,
you can certainly have the person arrested under the laws of the land.
Good luck.
Yeah, hey, it happens in America, Tony. I'm sorry you guys
in America,
Pakistan haven't gotten it figured out yet, all right? When you do, give me a ring. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
A bioterrorism expert on Fox News said just moments ago that this could be a series of copycat occurrences with regard to the anthrax. He does not believe it's related to Al-Qaeda. He believes that it is a copycat. There could be a series of copycats copying the original, which might have been the National Enquirer. And that anthrax has been a favorite potential weapon of the far right in this country for many years. And this goes back to what we were saying last week, that it could be domestic and it could be right-wing in nature. And not one person, but a series of copycats who right now have the country's attention. Open up your mail, man. Open up your mail. Send mail. Use lots and lots of products that have white powder in them, okay? Just break yourself of the fear already. And realize and put into perspective the fact that we're talking about 13 or 14 people affected and not seriously and under treatment with antibiotics, and there's 260 million of us, and millions of packages go through the mail every day, and that these events are traced back to, I believe, one of two dates, or one of three dates, actually, September 18, September 28, and I think October 5th. So, you know, of the millions and millions and millions of packages that are sent in the country each day, you're dealing really with a very small number of individuals, and you're dealing with traceable and specific dates. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Diana on the Phil Hendry Show. Diana?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing? Good evening.
Fine, good evening.
Thank you for your humor. It's good for the soul. I just wanted to let you know that I've been giving to a charity for a year or two now to the Sudanese people, the Christian people that have been tormented by the Islam people. There are fights going on over land rights and, of course, resources such as oil. And the children and women there are being taken in as slaves and tortured, and 2 million have been killed.
And the point of your call to me is what?
My point is that they had committed human rights violations.
Who has?
The Islamic Nation.
Okay, so the Islamic people are you want to make sure that we all know that it's Islamics that are doing it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? Christians have been responsible for some of the worst bloodletting in the history of the world. Should we start talking about that?
Absolutely.
I don't know what the point is.
That's
other
fine.
Than to say that there are some despotic and criminal people that are hurting innocents in the Sudan, we could certainly have a conversation about that. But if you want to start breaking it down along religious lines, by and therefore by connection, impugning an entire religion, you know what? It's not going to happen on this show.
Well, some
otherwise,
of this was
we're going to start
motivated
talking about
by Osama. Some of this had been motivated by him.
Well, and then it might be motivated by criminal terrorists.
Yes, and they were trying to take over the Sudan region in order to gain oil rights. And my point is that they have been committing some crimes in order to do so. And I felt like that we needed to go to war with them a long time ago over
with
this.
With who?
With the Islamic Nation and with the terrorists, people like
Let's
Osama.
Go to war with all the Christians first, okay, and redress all of the crime that they've committed against civilization, and then we'll go to war with the Islamics, all right?
Well,
get in line behind the Christians first, Islamics. You'll be next, but then we got to talk about the horror inflicted upon this world in the name of Christianity. See, you started off talking about Islamic and Christian. If you want to talk about terrorists and victims of terror, we can talk about that.
Well, I should have mentioned Osama in my first statement, but what I wanted to mention to you...
Yeah, okay, thanks a lot. You're bugging me. Your voice is driving me out of my mind. Anita, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I called because I wanted to talk a little bit about the anthrax scare.
Oh, yeah?
I think that people ought to keep it in perspective. You know, the cases that have come up are very high profile, and there's probably a reason for that, and they're targeting people who are high profile, and it's getting on the news. But I'm one of those people that didn't even know where Afghanistan was. I didn't know who Osama bin Laden was before September the 11th. And I've done a little research, and I found out that a lot of people have been killed by his network, and I didn't even know about it, a lot more than
Well, join most Americans. They don't even know how to go buy a newspaper. So
and,
you're ahead
you know,
of the game there,
Anita.
The
things that are in the newspaper aren't the good things that are going on, you know?
What?
Well, I mean, you know, I
the
didn't hear anything
in the
about all
the
people who
thing.
Didn't have anthrax today. And you know,
would you like
people...
us to have a headline? Look, Anita, before you call a talk show and talk about what you know, you admitted you didn't know anything before September the 11th. I'd go back and do a little bit more reading, okay? Because
okay.
This idea about let's report all the people that don't have anthrax. Look, newspapers don't work that way, all right? They don't put... You know, 259,999,900 didn't have anthrax today.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. The media operates a certain way, and as a consumer of the news, you're going to have to learn how to consume it, okay? Then you give me a call back. The first mistake you made was, I didn't know who Osama bin Laden was before September the 11th, but I've done some research, and here's what I know. We should report all the people who don't have anthrax. And that doesn't work like that. God bless you. Stay positive. Get, you know, with how this thing works. And like I said, Anita, you're ahead of the game because most Americans probably wouldn't know how to put the quarter in the slot to pull a freaking newspaper out of there in the first place, let alone read up on Osama or however you even spell his name, which in some instances it's USA, OSA, or ASSHOLE. How about that? Asshole Bin Laden. I think there's a good name for him. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, those ladies really stole my thunder there, Phil. But we're getting the crap kicked out of us in this propaganda war. And I'm thinking...
Yeah, that's what I said when the show started.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking maybe we should go back to the joke wars, you know? Like with all the other countries we made fun of, like Poland, China, Italy, and Puerto Rico, and all them countries. What do you think?
I don't know what you're talking about. What,
well,
you mean start telling Afghani jokes?
Yeah,
that's great. That's super. Start writing them, babe. And I know that Leno would probably love to see them. Here is Bill on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I'd like to say thank goodness that somebody knows what they're talking about.
Who's that?
That's you.
It ain't me.
No, I think so, sir.
All right.
As far as people talking about oil over there and the peace agreements, it's not about oil, it's over water.
Hello?
They have to have water.
Right.
And why are people arguing over oil over there where everything is full of it? You know, one of the key peace agreements over in Palestine is over water in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So what's, you know, there is no big deal over oil.
Other than the fact that that's where we get our oil here in America.
That is correct, but not between them, it's not.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, as far as... The young lady that called it before and said it was over oil. It's not over oil.
No, for us it's over oil.
Oh, absolutely. Look at the Gulf War.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't over oil. Excuse me.
Yeah. You're on top of it there, Bill. Jesus. Talked about this like 45 minutes ago. Oh, well, yeah, it's oil, sure. I mean, yeah, but water. Water's the thing. Water. The hell is this, man? Chinatown? Between them, they don't give a crap about the oil. Who gives a crap about between them? I'm talking about us. We need the oil. And the cat, he finally gets with it, man. Hey, look, you know, I'm just the guy hosting the radio show trying to keep this thing moving along here. You know what I'm saying? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That number again, 1-800-I-FORGET. Here's Ahmed on the Phil Hendry Show. Ahmed?
Hi, Ahmed. Hi, Phil. This is Ahmed.
Yes, Ahmed. How are you?
And great. I've been listening to your show for a very long time, and this is a different aspect of yours that is coming out. And I tell you, I'm surprised and very pleased, and to tell you that you're doing a great job.
Well, you're very kind.
I don't know whether the American public is understanding.
You sound like Peter Sellers in the movie The Party. Go ahead.
Do you remember the Indian man that he played? It was a great character. Go ahead.
Between your sarcasm and...
In other words, Ahmed, what you're saying, for an asshole, you're not a bad guy.
No. I honestly mean it.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're trying to educate the public and you're doing... I wonder how many really understand that you're trying to dot the I's and dash the T's.
And
trying to take America to a level where it should be, and it is, you know, a great power, a great country... has great responsibilities, and a different way of thinking, rather than the beer guzzling, kick butt, and all of that stuff. And
yeah, well, we love to guzzle our beer. I won't begrudge any American that. But I will say that we do have to. And I said this right after September 11th. I said, you know, we've got to look away from ourselves and look at our country and at our society. We are a people who are very self-absorbed. You overhear conversations in any restaurant in America before September the 11th, and it was generally about, where are you going on vacation? Right. My boyfriend didn't send me a birthday card. My kids are doing this. My, me. And if anything comes out of this positive, yeah, we'll start being...
If I may interject,
go ahead.
Is that... You know, I'm being a Muslim and being a very practicing one and fairly vocal in my community and stuff. Right after September 11th, we got a few hate phone calls and stuff. But then again, the outpouring and the beauty of America that came out to come in and in support of us, you know, us, Osama bin Laden and company are supposed to be of our faith. And it's, you know, some of us feel as if we are part of a family in which you have a murderer.
Yeah.
And you may think, well, we are not related and all of that, and we come out and decry them and say everything. Mm. But at the end of the day, you go to sleep and you still don't feel too good. But amongst all of this, the best of America has come through, and it is coming through. And I think yourself specifically are doing a great job.
You should have a show, man.
No, I could listen to you.
Let me tell you.
Before you start on your jokes again.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. You have a very... No, listen to me. No, you've got a very nice voice. You have a very intelligent delivery. You have a pleasing accent. I think it's a... I'm serious.
Hang on. All right. One of these days, maybe we'll pal up together with...
And have some
you
yogurt.
And me on Oregon and you on...
We'll have some curried duck and we'll go to town.
Actually, I hate curried duck.
Me too.
If you come over in Oregon and I invite you to have dinner in my house, and I promise you, the food you will never forget.
Well, someday when all of this crap is behind us. No, I gotta run, though, brother, okay?
One more.
I'd love to. You're a great man, Ahmed. Please keep listening. Don't call us again. No, I'm kidding. You can do that whenever you'd like. You're a nice guy. But I do have to take a break. And you made some very good points. And I think the essential point that you made was you have seen some beauty in this country over the last month. And you've seen support from the American people for the Muslim community in your town. And I think that needs to be stated and it needs to be said. And you've seen a lot of beautiful things about this nation. Man, we see it. People who live here see it. Because it is a beautiful place. And we are beautiful people. All right, yes, I am always knocking people because they don't, you know, consume the news as much as they should, or maybe we're not as intelligent as we ought to be. But hey, man, you don't get 200 and some odd years down the road with a pretty damn good country like this one without doing a few things right. You don't get 226 or plus years down the highway without being a pretty damn good people, bent on some pretty positive things. The only crime, if you will, the only sin that we've committed is one of ignorance. We've sort of kept our eyes closed to a lot of what happens around us. Maybe we do that because we don't want to have to run off and fight a war every time we see some people get brutalized. Maybe we do that because we don't want to have to clutter our lives with a lot of stuff that we don't think we should clutter it with. It's bad enough trying to keep a job, raise a family, raise kids, do all that stuff without having to wrestle with the moral questions of whether it's proper that the Bosnian Serbs be protected and the Bosnian Christians are not, and whether this guy... Yeah, but you know what? You got to do what you got to do. My third oldest is having problems in school right now. He's always struggled with his schoolwork. He's always had a hard time concentrating. And we've sort of let him go along, and we've tried a system of rewards and this and that. Well, now he's in middle school, and he's still having a hard time getting the homework done. He's got three areas of problem. He doesn't take notes, he doesn't take down his homework correctly, and he doesn't do his homework. And I finally had to say to him, I said, look, man, it's not going to get any easier. It's only going to get tougher. I'm going to lean on you even more. And even if you sit there, as he has occasionally at the dinner table or at the kitchen table where we do his homework, and even if you cry, man, and I can see him crying, and even if you tell me it's hard, you're not going to get any sympathy from me other than from me saying, yeah, I know it's hard. I've been there. Pretty soon you got to put your tears aside, and you're going to have to do the work. There's no getting around it. There's no shortcutting it. You got to do it, dude. Now, we'll try to make it easy. We'll try to make it make sense. We'll try to give you ways and tools to get it done. But you got to do it, man. You got to do it. And telling me how hard it is doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It's got to get done. Well, maybe if I was in a different school or something, it's doesn't make any difference. Still going to be hard. So after we get done freaking out, shedding tears, getting crazy, and getting pissed, we're faced with the same problem. We have to get through the day and solve the problems as they present themselves. And all the freaking out, all the teardrops, all the railing and shaking our fist at heaven and asking God, why'd you do this to us? And all of the being pissed off, none of that's going to matter at the end of the day. You know, you're still going to have to solve the problem. And we got to take a shortcut to the answers. All the freaking Muslim bashing and, you know, and go in there and roll over them with tanks. Let's get smart. Come on, people. We can do it. We're not dumb. Once we open our eyes and get a little information under our belts, we can make some pretty good decisions. How to go about this war on terror? I believe personally that we got to take the military activity of this country off the front page, put it into the covert areas of the intelligence community, and begin attacking it on an international scale using people. That's number one. Number two, yeah, we're going to have to shore up somehow the way our mail is delivered in this country, or for nothing else, be smarter on how we open it. Use law enforcement to track where these packages are coming from. Use a system of rewards to try to get information on who is sending the stuff. Same thing that we're doing with the Al-Qaeda network. Protect our country. I think Israel is a model. I mean, those are just three really rough, simple steps out of the gate. That's what I think. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. All right, I'm going to leave you with something really nice, something uplifting, something positive here. This was said by a president of ours. His name was Kennedy, and just please, I know if you're not a Democrat, if you're a Republican, let's just listen to this. These are the words of a leader, a president, who said to us in 1960, "Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, a struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself." Now, the line there that I thought was key, patient in tribulation, sometimes just outlasting the other guy. You know, like a staring contest. The Phil Hendry Show.